שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוער, שלום גויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, י"ז בשבט, פרשס יסרו, תשע"ו, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 28 January 2016, webcasting from the land that drives men out of their minds. And in that regard, it has been an action-packed week, with one successful and a few unsuccessful attempts to Jew-kill. In the very week, the UN commemorates International Holocaust Remembrance Day. That was yesterday. And 2 days in a row, the UN Secretary General bashed the one and only Jewish state recognized by the UN following the said remembered Holocaust. I mean, how bizarre can you get? The day before on Tuesday, and the day itself, the head of the UN bashing system, in classic anti-Jew fashion, seemed to attack from different angles. It was an anti-Jew assault by him because it approved Jew killing and was a pack of lies to react to occupation, which often serves as a potent incubator of hate and extremism, close quote. Pointing to human nature, you might as well have said it's normal for the victims of Zionism to react as they do, thus supporting them in this latest round of Jew killing via knifing and vehicular homicide. And referencing the occupation, well, that's a lie, because there is no occupation according to international law. There are conditions which constitute an occupation of one state by another, and those conditions are absent in this situation. He was also a classic anti-Jew in his outburst for assigning ultimately responsibility for the murder of Jews to the Jews themselves. Notice his sequence. First, occupation by the Jews, which is presumptively unjust and illegal, that turns into an incubator of hate. In other words, if the Jew killers here in this time and this place are hateful, that is the result of what the Jews have done to make them fill up with such hatred. And notice finally how he was unable to call a spade and use the term murder. Instead, he said the incubator produces hate and extremism. And what, pray tell, is extremism if not engaging in the most extreme act a human being can, which is to kill another man? Notice he did not use the word terrorism even. He uses extremism. And that's because his paymasters, the Muslim states, who are the plurality at the UN, which is why Israel should walk out of that terrible organization after decades of trying to win over the Nations United. The UN tried over years to compose a definition of terrorism, but were never able to agree on one because the Western democracies wanted to include what the Arabs do to the Jews in the Free State of Jews. The Muslim Arabs said no way. They were adamant that their violence against Jews in Palestine is the armed struggle. It is freedom fighting. Terrorism is what the Jews do in self-defense. Prime Minister Netanyahu shot back that Ban Ki-moon is providing, quote, a tailwind for terrorism. There is no justification for terrorism, he said. He also added, quote, those Palestinians who murder do not want to build a state but destroy a state. And they say this openly, close quote. Compounding Ban Ki-moon's classical anti-Jew thinking was saying what he did, as in Israel. Another lovely young Jew, age 23, Shlomit Krigman, Hashem Yikom Damo, was laid to rest in Jerusalem. And Ban Ki-moon did not stop there. Everything out of his mouth this week exposes his addiction to classical anti-Jew behavior. He went on with the obligatory condemning Arabs, attacks, violence, the stabbings, quote, stabbings, vehicular attacks, and shootings by Palestinians targeting Israeli civilians, all of which I condemn, he said, and clashes between Palestinians and Israeli security forces also continue to claim lives, close quote. And I find this stream of thinking truly a violation of human nature, which includes a basic sense of justice and the right to self-defense. He condemns Arabs killing Jews in their current fashion and condemns, by implication, also IDF soldiers who also take lives, Palestinian lives, in these violent clashes initiated by the Arabs. In the first instance, Arabs pounce upon defenseless Jews and stab them to death. In the second instance, Arabs attack Israeli soldiers with potentially deadly instruments, rocks, Molotov cocktails, and they are killed in self-defense by the Jewish soldiers. For an anti-Semite like this UN bureaucrat, since there is Jewish death at the hands of Arabs and Arab death at the hands of Jews, moral equivalence. It's a tie ball game. Both sides are guilty of taking life. Such is the warped, inhuman mind of this Jew-hater. And he did not stop there. Quote, Palestinian frustration is growing under the weight of a half-century of occupation and the paralysis of the peace process, close quote. In this sentence, he communicates his view that what leads to these Arab stabbings, etc., is frustration that is so intense. It stems from the realization that the beautiful dreams of the knife-wielding idealists in their futile fight for freedom have been stymied by a paralyzed peace process. Though once again, like covering up murder with the word extremism, this relieves the murderers of responsibility for the paralysis. The parties responsible for this paralysis are not named, but in context, everyone understands it's Israel's half-century of occupation that Israel unjustly refuses to end. I don't think the sky would fall if the Prime Minister had gone beyond his indignant objection to this support for terrorism, his language, and said the man himself, Ban Ki-moon, is an anti-Semite. The next day, Ban Ki-moon responded to the Prime Minister's accusation that he provides a tailwind to terrorism by standing by his remarks and adding the word stifling to the charge of occupation. He said, young people, presumably the knife attackers, are especially losing hope. They are angered by the stifling policies of the occupation that began in 1967. That must end, close quote. You got the picture, the teenage Arab brute who plunged his dagger several times into the surprised upper body of Shulamit, Hashem Yikun Dama, was angry because he felt stifled by the occupation. Think of that. Ban Ki-moon might have headed this poor young Arabian male could not even breathe in the stifling occupation imposed upon him by Jews. And so, of course, he grabbed his dagger and stabbed the first unsuspecting, defenseless, helpless Jewish person he could find. She and another Jewess. I also think it's clear that we have in Ban Ki-moon this generation's version of homicidal Jew hatred, justified as it always is. That's the thought that begins my chapter one. Every outburst of homicidal madness against the Jews is a response to some presumed evil the Jews are believed to have committed, and therefore the outburst is understandable. In Ban Ki-moon's words, it's human nature to react to occupation, which he said in reference to the homicidal violence of the Arabs. Yes, he condemns what they do, but he does understand what goads them to such behavior, and clearly the initial catalyst that starts the ball rolling is Jewish behavior. So at the end of the day, he condemns stabbing Jews to death, but they are ultimately at fault for the whole business. It's the Jews that drive Arabians to seize their daggers and kill them. So what we have heard this week out of the mouth of this spokesman for the family of man, assembled in the Council of Nations in New York, is this generation's mutation of age-old behavior. In early 20th century Germany, following the First World War, Jew hatred was expressed in a very different way. Out of the mouth of a barking mongrel of a man with that little mustache, shouting and snarling and gesturing, threatening the Jews because in the just concluded war, Germany had suffered a humiliating loss, and whose fault was it? Why, it was the Jews that stabbed Germany in the back. Interesting similarity in the analogy. In the 1920s, in his beer hall speeches and elsewhere, the party responsible for the terrible loss and imposition of ruinous punitive penalties on Germany was the Jews. He organized dramatic Wagnerian nighttime spectacles, torch-lit rallies with goose-stepping men in uniforms, and gave more speeches against the Jews, who were responsible for everything that was wrong in Germany. Today, though, the style is very different. Following the inferno of the Holocaust, the old way of sneering and shouting and hating and accusing Jews has given way to this more diplomatic, genteel style presented by His Excellency, the Secretary General of Nations United, around nothing so much as their shared hatred of Israel. It's the same old lunatic hallucination of Jewish culpability, of the Jews being responsible for the persecution and abuse they bring on themselves.
כשושנה בין החוכים, כן רעייתי בין הבנות, כתפוח בצע היה, כן דודי בין הבנים, כתפוח בצע היה, כן דודי בין הבנים. כשושנה בין החוכים, כן רעייתי בין הבנות, כתפוח בצע היה, כן דודי, כתפוח בצע היה, כן דודי בין הבנים. סימני כחותם על ליבך וכחותם על זרועיך, כי אז אחמת אהבה קשה חישול, כי נער רשפיה רשפש שלהבת יד, מים רבים לא ישטפוה. כשושנה בין החוכים, כן רעייתי בין הבנות, כתפוח בצע היה, כן דודי, כתפוח בצע סימני כחותם על ליבך וכחותם על זרועיך, כי עזה המוות אהבה קשה חישול, כי נער שפה משפש על מים רבים לא ישטפוה.
And that was from Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 3, and chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. So yesterday was International Holocaust Remembrance Day, instituted by the United Nations some years back, and I wish Israel would, next year, refuse to participate. For it has become like a reform bar mitzvah, a meaningless charade presided over by anti-Semites, like Ban Ki-moon, whose participation makes a mockery of its intended purpose to remember the Holocaust, what he called a colossal crime, and evidence of it is irrefutable, he said yesterday, but not surprisingly, he did not name the victim of the crime or its perpetrators. He did single out Iran yesterday by expressing his, quote, profound disappointment at the decision there to proceed, as in last year, with a Holocaust cartoon Congress contest in the spring, making fun of the lie that there was a Holocaust. Ban Ki-moon might have pointed out that the recent anniversary of the Charlie Hebdo massacre was a protest against cartoons making fun of Islam's founder. And here is official Iran smiling on making fun of the crocodile tears shed by Jews over an event that never happened. But then, in classic contemporary fashion, Mr. Ban Ki-moon turned away from the target of the day of the Holocaust being commemorated, and he began speaking of the humanitarian crisis of our time, the situation in Syria. That's the way it is on Holocaust Remembrance Day, January 27th, chosen as the day because Auschwitz was liberated by Soviet troops on that day in 45. Speakers around the world, and I'm sure in Reform temples and other non-Jewish Jewish organizations, had ceremonies in which the Holocaust of the Jews was mentioned, but then besides the Holocaust of the Jews, there were other injustices in the world, other Holocausts, the humiliation of Muslims by Islamophobes, the tears of lesbian, gays, bis, transgenders, all rejected by homophobes, the aged victims of ageism and the short people who suffer the sorrows of heightism, especially gay midgets and lesbians who are black, said Ban Ki-moon yesterday in his speech at the UN General Assembly. On this day of Holocaust remembrance, I urge everyone to denounce political and religious ideologies that set people against people, close quote. No mention of anti-Semitism, I guess. I'd have to check the transcript, but I would not be surprised to discover that nowhere does he use that expression and single out the Jews. I think Israel in the future, therefore, should abstain from any connection to this day. We have two other days in the year in our own calendar, one an Israeli official day, and there are a couple of days Haredim choose to remember what we went through. The International Holocaust Remembrance Day, sponsored by the UN, has become, ironically, an occasion for covert anti-Jew thoughts like those of Ban Ki-moon. When the Holocaust becomes universal, it becomes like early Christianity, sneering at the Jewish people for claiming a special covenantal relationship with God. Those greedy Jews, Christianity said everyone is entitled to a special relationship with God. Indeed, the Church of Rome claims Catholicism is the real special covenant, and the Catholics are the real Jews. And then along came Islam, saying, no, as the Jews lost their special relationship to God, as the most beloved people, lost it to the Christians, now the Christians have lost it to us believers in the final revelation. Everybody wants a piece of the action. Look at how Islam anchors its claim to the special covenant and the fact that believers in 638 overran the Jews' Temple Mount, and they will never let the Jews take it back. Notice how for these primitives, the special covenant is largely contentless. What is the content of this special relationship? It's not the substance of Islamic teaching that matters, but just the concrete possession of the Temple Mount. That's all that matters. Without the Temple Mount, Islam has nothing to teach. And there is certainly nothing in Islamic culture that merits praise. On the contrary, using Ban Ki-moon's example, Syria is a nightmare culture there, and in Iraq, and Yemen, and Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and Sudan, and Libya. Yeah, Israel should withdraw from any connection to this masquerade of remembering the Holocaust. Yesterday, the always excellent Knesset speaker, Yuli Edelstein, spoke from the podium and took note of how both France and Italy yesterday were honoring the day by playing host to Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. He said, quote, I have no words for the hypocrisy of the presidents of these countries, like France and Italy, that on Holocaust Remembrance Day play host to the president of Iran. Edelstein referenced the upcoming latest cartoon festival in Tehran, mocking the lie of there having been a Holocaust. What a joke. When France and Italy, on this Memorial Day, play host to Iran, this generation's power publicly dreaming of incinerating the Jewish state, God forbid, that arose after the Holocaust, it's proof of the meaninglessness of this day. It has become a farce. Poor Shlomit, Hashem Yikom Dama, she was laid to rest in the holy city on this day, as the UN's headman accused Israel of being the party ultimately responsible for her murder. Give me a break.
גדול, חיים שלמים עברו ותמו
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. One encouraging note this week of miserable weather has been the disclosure that the 15-year-old savage who murdered Daphne Meir, Hashem Yikum Dama, mother of now six orphans, and an experienced neurosurgery nurse, he told his investigators that he was driven to strike, as he did by programs seen on PATV. And as a result, Yeshiva Council's head Avi Roe wrote to the PM and the DM and Public Security Minister Erdogan to say they have to do something about this. And I say, no kidding. In 1993, the Holy Father of Peace, the future Saint Simon of Oslo, Perez, took away a TV channel used by Israeli Arabs for their programming and gave it to the PLO, which became today's PATV, showing all kinds of programs and images glorifying the murder of Jews in Israel, showing caricatures of Jews as pigs and apes, as subhumans with disgusting characteristics. They show allegedly monstrous crimes by Jews, such as murdering these boys and girls who Israel claims attacks with knives when, like a fictitious Holocaust, that has never happened. The Jews just murder them at random and then plant the knives on them. PATV claims the whole Temple Mount is now in Israeli hands, and so on and so forth. As usual, one delirious lie after another. Well, as I usually say, don't expect much action until this time, 12 months from now, when the anti-Jew Islamophile in the White House is gone. I believe he's capable of anything against us, because he is a Muslim and Islam is a form of anti-Judaism. This guy scares me and will scare me until he is gone. He should only drop dead tomorrow. But when he goes, and assuming the next president will be pro-Israel, Israel has to finally bury the Oslo failure and all of its provisions and assumptions. And in the matter of the anti-Semitic filth that the PA produces every day in its media, Israel should immediately, in a midnight raid, raid PA studios and walk out with all the equipment. And when the enlightened howl and protest, the Prime Minister must announce to the whole world that, quote, this is the land of Israel, the world's one and only Jewish people at home again in our land, and we are under no obligation to tolerate within the borders of our land this poison of lunatic, homicidal Jew hatred worthy of any Nazi or church inquisitor or Cossack or crusader in our past. We will not tolerate the production of anti-Semitic poison that urges potential homicidal maniacs to murder us. Israel has zero tolerance for such behavior and will not permit it. Israel might also send military units to every school and park in Arab Judea and Samaria named for the terrorists to tear down the signs honoring them. For sure, afterwards, the enemy will replace them, but sometimes media events, however temporary, can serve the purpose of putting the locals and the scheisskopfs like Ban Ki-moon on notice that the days of anti-Jew propaganda produced here are over. It should also be time to finally go to war with the very idea of Palestinians with national rights to our God-given promised land that we brought back to life. I find it simply shocking that Israel has accepted all these years the existence of the PA media printing and broadcasting these classically anti-Semitic fantasies, which the GSS has finally publicly concluded have been a major contributor to the current wave of nightmarish murders. Another ambush last night in the Givat Zev gas station in northern Jerusalem. The victim was seriously stabbed and was reported by late afternoon to be in an induced coma and stable, but still on death's door. Yesterday, as it happened, heroic citizens witnessed the attack, and evidently they were unarmed, but they didn't run after the devil, who at one point threw away his knife, but after being caught and wrestled to the ground and had the stuffing kicked out of him, those who grabbed him apparently beat him up pretty good, but sure, for sure, he was nowhere near so wounded as his Jewish victim. And how unfortunate none of those heroes had a gun to do what was necessary. Now, as usual, with Jewish money, he is in one of Jerusalem's hospitals being taken care of, and perhaps he will get a prison term, and then he will be sustained in all those years by more Jewish money. Israel has to get straight in its head about this behavior, too.
הללוקה הללו כל בקודשו הללו ברכיה וזו הללו בגבורותה הללו קרוב גודלו הללו בתקע שופר הללו בנבל וכינור הללו בתוף ומחול הללו במינים ועוגב הללו בצלצלי שמע הללו בצלצלי תרועה כל הנשמה תהלל כה אוי הללוקה הללוקה הללו כל בקודשו הללו ברכיה וזו הללו בגבורותה בתקע שופר הללו בנבל וכינור הללו בתוף ומחול הללו במינים ועוגב הללו בצלצלי שמע הללו בצלצלי תרועה אוי כל הנשמה תהלל כה
Psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm 150. Last item, in keeping with the foregoing thoughts on Israeli policy after the Muslim anti-Semite in the West House is gone, last Shabbos in Ramallah, Mahmoud Abbas met with local journalists and said, quote, "Anyone who gives up Jerusalem is a traitor, and there will be no Palestinian state without the city of Jerusalem as its capital." He also said for the umpteenth time he would never recognize Israel as a Jewish state. "And I say Israel must respond by declaring Oslo finished, a dead letter, and Abbas now public enemy number one of the people of Israel. And in that light, Israel has the right to do to him whatever it pleases because he has voiced his desire to take the capital of Israel away from us." 1940, the Germans rolled into Paris and took over and claimed Paris now belonged to the German people, led by Der Führer. In this light, Israel should regard Abbas and anyone like him who pines to steal our capital from us, public enemy number one, and Israel will feel no obligation toward this man whatsoever. When Obama's gone, may it be a new day in the land of Israel for the Jewish people, as it finally buries the functionally traitorous stupidity of the Oslo abomination. Okay, that's it for this difficult week, personally and for the country. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz HaKodesh.